RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi of RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. They are the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts, and they are the creators of the RVFTA podcast network. They are also the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations, which is coming out in bookstores next week.
Next week.
On
May
Tuesday.
10th. You got it.
So welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. You know, a little sad to be back from vacation.
Oh my gosh, was it a good one?
It was.
Oh my gosh.
So last time on episode number 23, we reviewed the Brattleboro North KOA in East Dummerston, Vermont. Where are we going this week?
We are headed to the campground at James Island County Park outside of Charleston, South Carolina.
Right. And before we tell you all about what may be one of our favorite campgrounds.
Oh, we're already like top
ever.
Three on this one.
Yeah. We are going to thank our sponsor, Progressive Insurance. Your RV is very different from your car, which is exactly why you need to get specialized RV insurance coverage instead of insuring under your auto policy. With specialized coverages, you're even more protected on the road. So call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visit progressive.com/RV today for more info.
Okay, so we're going to do things differently this episode than we've ever done before, and there's a very specific reason why. So normally on Campground of the Week, we do the first segment reviewing the campground, then we come back, and then we do regional activities. Well, this week, we're going to do it this way. We're going to review the campground in the first segment, and then in the second segment, we're going to review James Island County Park and all the activities and amenities in the park, because the campground is in the park.
But wait,
what about
Charleston?
Well, we're doing a whole episode this week. Our RV Family Travel Atlas episode this week, which will be out Friday morning, is going to be all about everything we did in Charleston. We're talking food, we're talking tours, we're talking photography, we're talking history, national park sites. So it's all about Charleston this week on the RVFTA Podcast Network, except for Girl Camper. She didn't get to come. Sorry,
no,
Girl Camper.
Next time we'll bring her down with us. So
I kept thinking she'd like it there.
These are like partner podcast episodes.
So you got to listen to them both.
Right. This is the campground review. And if you're listening to this and you want to know more about visiting the Charleston area, head on over to, I think it's episode number 87 of RVFTA.
Okay. So Stephanie, where is the location of the campground at James Island County Park? Can you get us a little bit situated geographically? And even tell us where Charleston is in South Carolina, because
yeah.
I don't want to assume everybody knows.
Right. So the campground here, okay, is like it sounds like on James Island. Okay. Now, the coastal Carolinas are made up of many different islands, right, that are sort of all broken up by little waterways and creeks and, you know, harbors and
whatnot.
Which
makes it incredibly beautiful.
Right.
And varied.
So, James Island is located about 6 miles southwest of downtown Charleston.
Say again, girl?
Only six
miles from downtown Charleston? And that's the amazing thing. It's an oasis, but it's just 6 miles away from such a great American city.
Right. And depending on traffic, it only takes about 15 minutes from the campground to the parking garage. So one morning we drove in during extreme high rush hour, and it took us longer than that. We got stuck in a traffic jam. But other than that, every single time we went in and out, it was like 15, 20 minutes easy.
It was only during the morning commute that one time we went in.
Mm-hmm.
So your proximity to Charleston is awesome.
Yeah,
from this
really
campground.
Close. So Charleston is located on the southern part of the South Carolina coast, all right? So it's about 2 hours south of Myrtle Beach, right? Picture Myrtle Beach more towards the top. It's about 2 hours south of that. And then it's less than 2 hours north of Savannah in Georgia. Like, I think that you could start up at Myrtle Beach and work your way down and hit all three cities pretty easily and have one of the most phenomenal vacations ever. Right?
Absolutely. So coastal Carolinas into Georgia could make a great extended road trip.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the type of campground. This is a county park, and it's run by the Charleston County Park and Recreation Commission. And to me, it's like, why aren't more counties running parks like this and having campgrounds like this? It practically made me jealous the
mm-hmm.
whole time we were there, thinking we don't have a county park like this anywhere
no.
in our area, nor do we have a campground this good.
This is a model for how county parks should be run. Absolutely. Anybody that has any development money, right, across the country, any public development money that's thinking, oh, we need to get one of those big, good communal public spaces with playgrounds and spray grounds, they need to come and they need to visit the James Island County
yeah.
Park, because I don't think I've ever seen it done better.
Somebody had a vision thing on this one.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, if there was a list of the best county parks in the country, this would have to be way, way tippy top.
Yeah. So this is a public campground. It is part of the county system. However, it really feels in a lot of ways like a private campground. And we're going to talk about the amenities later that make it feel that way.
It combines both in a lot of nice ways.
Right. All right. So the campground is within the county park. How big is it?
There's about 100 sites at the campground. It's divided about equally into two main areas, one on either side of the camp store. The entryway and the camp store sort of divides the campground in half. And somebody actually asked us on social media, like, oh, which side is better? And we had to actually kind of talk about it for a minute or two. And we think the side with the fishing pond might get a slight edge because there's a fishing pond. But really, they're both really nice.
Oh, absolutely. You'd be happy on each side. I think that there's good sites and then there's better sites on both sides. And we'll talk more about that when we go into the specific
sites.
Yeah,
we'll talk site.
Yeah, but I don't think one site or the other trumps, you know.
No, just be happy to get a site at the campground at James Island County Park.
Speaking of which, booking.
Let's talk about price range
okay.
and ease of booking. So what does it cost to camp here, Stephanie?
So rates begin at $20 a night for tent sites.
And they had a nice tenting area, which mm-hmm. was a bit separate from the RV area.
Right. They have a group tenting area. They have a primitive tent area that's across the bike path from the regular campground or the RV part. So there's $20 for that, up to $49 for the full hookup pull-throughs.
Stop the madness. $49 for full hookups at such an exquisite campground? That's a steal.
You like that price point. I think
I do like that price
point. We were on a back end with full hookups, and that's in about the $45 range, which is most of the sites at the campground.
I also have to say, I just like getting some full hookups at a public campground, at a county park or state park. It's so nice to get the full hookups there.
Okay. you want full hookups, you like the price point, Jeremy, but the bottom line is that you are going to have to plan in advance to nab one of those spots.
Yeah, I mean, particularly if you want to go during one of the events that happens at James Island County Park, there's some really popular events, which we'll talk about soon, or if you want to go during a popular holiday, if you're going during, it's open year-round, by the way, this campground.
Yes, it is.
And the full hookups, I ask, the full hookups are open year-round here because it just doesn't get – the ground doesn't really freeze or very rarely freezes. So if you're going during a kind of a peak season there or during a holiday, you want to get on it.
Spring break, and spring break, you know, extends over the course of quite a few weeks because different schools do it at different times. So really, if you're looking to go in the springtime during when any schools are off, you do need to book that well in advance.
Yeah, our trip was during an off week when most schools were not on break. So we got in okay. The campground did look sold out when we were there, or very close to sold out, and a lot of people moving in and out. So as soon as somebody moved out of their site, somebody was in there in a couple hours.
Right. Now, let's talk more about these sites. We mentioned that there were basically two loops, right? The one that goes to the right of the camp store and the one that goes to the left of the camp store. If you're looking at a campground map, the one to the left has the small like pond that Jeremy mentioned, and there is fishing in that. And there are sites that really back up right around
that. Yeah, and it looked more like for like pop-up campers or for smaller rigs. But if you have a pop-up camper or a smaller rig, you might nab a site right on the pond, and they were quite pretty.
Camper vans. It says pop-ups or camper. Vans, it says, for those sites. And there's only six of those sites.
That are on the actual pond there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, along that row. They're yellow on the campground map. So those are the ones that, you know, kind of face that. And then the other ones are some back-ends like we had that give you direct access to that lake. You just have to go through, like, the forest path.
There's lots of paths that cut in and around the different sites and in and around the campground, which makes it kind of, like, fun to kind of just get from one place to the other to some degree. So what else do we need to know about sites here? There's some other important things we want to tell our listeners about
so
the sites.
So there are only about 10 pull-through full hookups. So if that's important to you, again, that's going to be something that's going to, you know, you need to book far in
yesterday.
Advance for those.
And they can accommodate the biggest of big rigs, but there's not that many sites that can accommodate the biggest of big rigs.
Right.
Though some of the back-ends could also did have Class A's in them, but if you have like a 40-foot plus rig, there's not that many sites for you, but there are definitely some nice ones.
Yeah, the majority of the campsites are the full hookup back in, which is what we had. We were at site number 22. All the sites have fire rings. They all have a picnic table.
And they're almost all very private.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you really do. They give you a good amount of space, not gigantic necessarily like some state parks, but the sites are generously sized. They're well shaded and, for the most part, very private.
But see, that's what I think they do at this campground. I think the campsite is smaller because they keep so much foliage in between the sites.
Great point. So our site backed up against the woods. I mean, they could have carved out a site twice the size, but instead we had woods there.
Yeah.
Okay, we had nature and a little path that cut through the woods, and the boys were off playing in the woods quite a lot.
Yeah, and that is the case with many of the sites. Now some of the pull-throughs have concrete pads, we should mention.
Yes, and some of the ones that are big rig friendly had nice concrete pads. Now, you mentioned here in your notes, you make a great point, that when you get a bit closer to the camp store, the roads do get a bit busier, so you might want to avoid sites that are right close to the camp store. If that's all you can get, take it. And in fact, some of them are very big and very nice, but it just gets a little busy up near the store.
Sure. It's just going to have more traffic going back and forth. Now, also, the sites on the loop to the right of the camp store, those sites number, it's like 64 through 85. They back up to a road that goes around the
county park. It's an interior road for the park. It's not like an actual road.
No, and it's not super busy. And again, there is a big, dense area of foliage in between those sites and the road. However, I could see when I was driving my car. You know, I could see the sights through the foliage. So I thought, you know, if you really want that secluded feeling, those sights may not be best for you.
So you might want to avoid like that row 64 to 85. But let me just tell you, if those are the sights you can get, take them. They're still great sights. It's just that there are some that are even better to the left of the camp store where you really, really feel like you're deep in the woods to some degree or another. Now, let's come to something important here. They have a lot of buddy sites, or at least a fair number of buddy sites. We had a little bit of a problem with the layout of these buddy sites that we want to point out to everybody so you can make a good decision about booking your sites. So tell us more about those.
Well, I don't like them even being called buddy sites.
We had almost a little mini spat about it because I kept saying, they're buddy sites, they're buddy sites.
They're
not. Like, no, they're not true buddy sites.
No, they're not. So the definition of buddy sites is that you have two sites with hookups on sort of the outer boundary of each site so that each camper can be facing with front doors inward, right? So if you're looking
awning
at a site,
awning
to awning, right? Front door to front door, you're looking at each other. So your hookups are both on the back, okay, of the camper and towards the back of that like square, right, of the site. Well, these sites, if you look at the campground map, you're going to see that there's like 5, 6, 7 of these little Y shapes on the map.
Or a V, depending on,
V,
you know.
I think it looks like a little Y because it doesn't like
but
V there, off.
Anyone looking at the map can tell, like 10 and 11 or 21 and 20.
Right, 23, 24. So there are two sites, but they're kind of joined. The reason why they're joined is because they only have one entrance. So there's one
entrance. But one
entrance. It's wide. But the thing is the hookups are still always on the driver's side, okay? So the point is that if you're staring at the site, and I'm going to try to describe this as clearly as possible, the one camper to the right, okay, if you're looking at the site, the camper to the right is looking at the rear of the other camper with no
foliage
in between.
You're looking at your buddy's hookups. And who wants to spend an entire vacation looking at their buddy's sewer line?
Right, and there's no delineation within that site. It's just all a big sandy open area. Now, the other camper, the one to the left, right, whose hookups are like right in the middle of the site.
You're facing the woods.
You're facing the woods. And we actually camped with friends that had one of those buddy sites. They were on number 20. And their site was really
nice. It's
gorgeous. Nice.
It backed up to the woods. It had a huge private area.
Yeah. They were on the left of that buddy site. So they were looking off into the woods. They had access to the bike path. The boys played over there so much. They loved that site. But if you were on the site right next to them, number 21, I'd be,
Yeah. And so that like our friends who were there were worried about their kids running onto the other site. So our friend Philip, who we were camping with, drew a line in the sand there saying like, don't cross over. That's their site.
Yeah.
So, but you know, even if you did know the person, you're not facing each other in that communal way that we like with buddy sites. But there's not that many like that, but we just wanted our listeners to know what those sites were like because you might not like one of them. And there's so many other great sites. Somebody asked me on Instagram, like, oh, what site should I reserve? And I was like, I don't know how to answer that question because there's like 85 awesome sites here. There's only a handful I wouldn't recommend. So at the campground at James Island County Park, it's not about which site should you reserve. It's about the small number of sites you shouldn't reserve.
Can I say one other site that I don't
think you should reserve? I'll let you say it.
Okay. Go ahead. So site number 44, like those sites along the back there were really nice and secluded, and they weren't those double buddy sites like 44, 28, 26. But 44 was right next to the dumpster. And the thing is
– it was a small, cute dumpster, but it was like right there, like you're looking at it.
No, that wasn't my problem. The raccoons in this campground
there
were
There are
like,
some raccoons. That we saw a few. They're big guys.
They're big, and they're like, I don't know, they're not like worried about you.
They're hungry.
Yeah. So like one time when I went over to the garbage, you know, he's like standing on top of the dumpster, and I'm like, okay, so I wouldn't want to have that campsite next to the dumpster because I would feel like I'd have like a raccoon running across my feet or something at night.
Yeah, look, so the moral of the story is if you don't get a site right next to a dumpster, If you don't get one of those buddy sites, and if you don't get something too close to the camp store, the other, like I said, 85 sites, you're golden. They're all nice sites. They're all a little bit different. They're not too standardized, which is actually really nice in a way. But there are so many terrific sites here.
And we really liked our site, number 22.
We did.
It was a beautiful site. It's around a bend, though. So for us, we like we said, we had friends, and they were right across the road. And the problem was our kids were constantly running back and forth.
Crossing the street 1,000 times a day.
So while if you didn't have kids, this site might be ideal for you. But if you have kids, being on a bend can always be tricky because they don't see the cars coming from up the road. So I would steer away from it. Although I love the site, I think next time I'd look for something
else. And you're reminding me, it was so adorable, how Wesley every morning wanted to get on his helmet, hop on his Strider bike, zoom across the street, and then kick off his helmet and drop his Strider bike and then play with the kids over there.
Yeah, he rode his bike across the street.
He would come cruising in at like 100 miles an hour, Wesley speed, basically show up like James Dean, throw his Strider bike down, take his helmet off, and he was done. He had traveled 8 feet.
He's very independent.
We had
fellow.
An amazing time here.
Yeah.
Okay. So what other accommodations do they offer at the campground at James Island County Park? Because it's not just tenting and it's not just RV sites.
No, there's also 10 cottages. And all the cottages have 3 bedrooms and 1 full bath. So if you're visiting the Charleston area, you're flying in for something, you have an event, my goodness, you could do worse than to stay at one of these cottages and have all of the amenities of this campground and park.
And there's so much at the campground and park. I didn't even see these cottages. And they were right by the campground.
Yeah.
And everything's so wooded and tucked away. There are just all these little cute, charming areas. I didn't even see those. And they were right by us.
All right. So now let's be more specific about the amenities that we're referring to.
Why not?
What is right there at the campground?
Okay. So right now, listen, remember, we're going to talk right now about things that are just in the campground. After the break, we'll come back and we'll talk about James Island County Park in general, which is huge. So at the campground, you have a really well-stocked and friendly camp store. It's borderline like concierge service. The people there are very helpful when it comes to getting information on going into the city or going to the beaches nearby. It was well-stocked, well-staffed. You also have bike rentals right there at the camp store, and biking both at the campground and in James Island County Park is just an awesome part of the experience. We'll talk more about that after the break, but if you don't have bikes, you can rent them right there at the camp store.
Okay. All right. It also has really good laundry facilities and restroom facilities. I wouldn't, you know, I don't know if it would fall into the category of like, say, Carrie Cox and Alexandra.
Well, they have very, you know, some of our correspondents have incredibly high standards for laundry room facilities.
Right.
They want the newest magazines. Okay?
They want like the laundry room spa.
And air conditioning.
Yeah. These were more outside. The washers and dryers were actually outside with just an overhang over them.
All of those facilities were very nice there. I really liked their activity center. So they had an indoor activity center. It had a ping pong table. It had a kitchen. It had just a lot of space there. It would have been a great rainy day room. But guess what? We didn't have a rainy day in Charleston.
No, we
had,
did not.
Like perfect weather. I think one drop of rain hit me on the shoulder and bounced off. And
we had
stopped.
A little, what, there was that little storm that kind of came through that one afternoon.
If you want to call it that.
No, it was. It was actually a thunderstorm.
Oh.
You remember?
It didn't last very long. But it's just, I love when a campground has like a rainy day room where you could take the kids on a rainy day and even just show them a movie there, play ping pong. They had that. It was very nice. They also had magazines and books in there. Really nice room. What else?
All right, there was the pond that we mentioned already. You could fish in it, but also our kids spent a lot of time at that campground catching the toads, those little teeny bitty toads.
Someone called them penny toads on our Instagram feed.
I kept meaning to ask.
I have photos of all of these things on our Instagram feed,
and
by
I
the
kept
way.
Meaning to ask a ranger to tell us a little more, to give us a little more identification, but we just didn't get the time to.
And they were the ones making that lovely noise at night, right?
Yeah, a lot
they
of.
They were like singing at night in this massive chorus.
Yeah, a lot of noise.
And
but
we
it was
turned
nice.
Off our air conditioning and our fan at night because we usually like a coating of white noise to help the boys sleep. You don't need that. There's this really delightful noise from the penny toads. toads.
Yeah, I said it sounded like one of those white noise machines, you know, that you buy when your kids are like babies. Like,
but better,
you buy the
white real
noise. But like, it actually sounds like a white noise machine. Like, wow, this is like coating the area completely.
I know, right. You also have shuttle service to downtown Charleston. So for $10 per person, they'll drop you off at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, okay, the CVB, or they'll take you to the Folly Beach Fishing Pier. So if you don't want to drive downtown, you don't have to. If you don't want to drive to the beach, which was actually really pretty easy to get to and parking was easy, you don't have to. And there were plenty of people that were there the week we were there who were taking the shuttle into the city every morning.
Yeah, and that would be easy to do because Charleston is a very walkable city. So you can easily take in the you know, shuttle and then have access to the whole city and not have to worry about that.
Just to throw this in, public parking was pretty good. I mean, we didn't find it to be a problem.
We chose to park in the garages, and we found them very affordable, much cheaper than even feeding meters around here would be.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, we thought we had no problem with that.
Now, at the campground, they also have an outdoor game area. And Stephanie and I were sort of having a little mini argument about what things they had there. And we both were remembering different things. And then I looked it up and they had all of the things. So they have giant chess, giant checkers, which are always a hit with the kids for some free entertainment. They had bocce ball. So I don't know if you can get bocce balls at the camp store, but they have a bocce ball court or two. So if you like bocce ball, bring your bocce balls. They have cornhole, ladder golf, horseshoes. It's a really nice shaded little nook of the campground, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. It was a little area over there that was nice. The boys were playing cornhole and ladder golf. And I think that one of their buddies was trying to teach them how to play chess.
Yeah, I don't think that really worked.
Probably not. Chess is, yeah. Might take a little more than a campground lesson.
They're good at checkers,
learn,
though. They beat
me.
How about Wi-Fi strength at the campground, Stephanie?
Good. And I even asked some other people, too, because I was a bit unplugged in the first part of our trip. And I hadn't even – it was like day five, and I had to upload a podcast. And I said, oh, how's the Wi-Fi here? Because I thought, oh, am I going to have to go off the campground, you know, to upload
Which
the podcast?
Which we often do.
Sure. And everybody said, oh, no, it's fine. I've been having no problems with it the whole time. And sure enough, I got on, I uploaded that podcast, and you all listened to the podcast last week.
And,
no problem.
And that's with the campground – pretty much sold out. So
yeah.
That's with the full campground, the Wi-Fi.
And I didn't move. I sat right there at our site and did it. So
that's nice. You know, now that I think about it, we were pretty unplugged on this trip.
We do our pictures and we post on social media just to share the excitement of our trip and to like give people sort of like, you know, just like a taste of what we're seeing and experiencing. But other than that, our boys, I mean, there was no TV. There was none of that.
One movie night
because
at the campground.
They were there with friends having fun. We were out and about all day. It was amazing.
An ideal trip. Now, there were not organized activities at the campground while we were there. They may have them at other times during the year, but they didn't while we were there. But there are many organized activities in the park because, remember, it's a campground within a much larger park. So we will talk about some of those organized activities after the break. Now, Stephanie, any good insider details, just any of those little tiny things that might help our podcast listeners have a better stay at James Island County Park?
I think that our talk on sites was very important for
very
the
insider.
That is, I think, the most important insider detail, especially with those sort of double sites. You call them buddy sites, and I refuse to. The paired sites, that's what I'm going to call them. Paired sites. Okay. So that is, I think, very insidery. But another thing is, if you want to take full advantage of the bike path at this campground, look for some of the sites that actually back up onto the bike path. So, for example, like we said, our friends were at site 20, and you can see the bike path on the map is like sort of this dotted line around the campground. So, any of those sites, they had access. They had a little path going through the foliage, the woods, the trees, and you could just jump right on the bike path. And I really like those. I would get one of those next time.
Yeah, this is a great campground for biking. Also, just, you know, we mentioned the penny toads. You could literally entertain your kids for hours by having them search for these penny toads. The boys loved kind of capturing them briefly. They let them go. They were gentle with them. But they did love kind of catching them in little paper cups and then letting them go. And it was literally like they would spend a couple hours doing it. So if you want to just spend some chill time at the campground, you could do that.
All right.
All right. Now, Stephanie, we know that no campground is perfect. As close as the campground at James Island County Park is to perfect, and
I really mean that. It's like my ideal campground.
I'm not exaggerating. It is, and it's top three for me, you know, and maybe it is my favorite campground ever. I really mean that. But nobody's perfect. So what could be improved within reason at this terrific, great American campground?
All right. My complaint, people are going to get sick of me saying this, but I did feel that people drove a little bit too fast. They had a posted speed limit of 10 miles an hour. And then the woman in the campground store was kind enough to say to you when you checked in to drive 6 miles per hour. And we always recommend that receptionists and campground hosts reiterate the speed limit to people when they checked in. And they did that here. And yet, people still kind of zoomed around. I don't know why.
There was a little too much zooming. And, you know, I don't want signs all over the place at a beautiful campground. But, you know, safety. And to be cliche, you know, I don't care. Safety first. Maybe a couple more signs reminding people to drive slowly. I'll never forget the Bar Harbor Campground in Maine has that gigantic sign when you pull in. It's so huge, and I just love it. And it's like, you know, we love our children at this campground. Drive as slowly as possible. You know, just maybe a couple more reminders around the campground of that, or maybe some of the camp workers and rangers kind of telling people, hey, you're driving too fast.
Right. Yeah, because they were driving around their golf carts sometimes, and it would have been nice if they had said, like, hey, slow down, people. You know, going a little too fast, so... Right. That's my only complaint.
But let me tell you, the experience at this campground was as close to perfect as anything we have experienced in 6 years of RVing.
Now, it's a beautiful campground, but a large part of that perfection comes from the other things that are there in the park that we got to experience and that we hope to experience the next time we go down. There was too much for us to even do during our brief trip.
I mean, to say that we only saw a sliver of Charleston is like obvious because it was our first trip to Charleston. I only saw a sliver of James Island County Park.
Yeah, so we're going to be back in a minute to tell you all about the activities and amenities that are in the rest of James Island County Park. Stay tuned.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968 to today, when Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is building everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old-world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just reviewed the campground at James Island County Park in Charleston, South Carolina, and we were raving about it, saying how it's one of our favorites of all time, maybe our favorite of all time. And now instead of taking you out into the city of Charleston, which we normally would do on Campground of the Week, but you know, this time we're going to do that on our other podcast, on RV Family Travel Atlas. Now we're actually going to review James Island County Park and tell you about the rest of this park. Now, the thing that I liked the most personally was the dog park. Stephanie, tell us about this awesome, gigantic dog park.
It was truly gigantic. So we accessed the dog park via the bike path from the campground, which was great. You could either walk or ride your bike from the campground over to the dog park.
Stephanie got quite good at riding her bike with Maggie on the leash.
I'm telling you, she's a dreamboat. She's such a good dog. At first I was like, okay, well, I'm not sure how she was going to do it. I was kind of going to walk the bike and try to... It's like this girl, she just gets it. She gets what she's supposed to do, and she goes, love her. Yeah, she was awesome. She wanted me to go faster. The faster, the better. She's great.
So it was fun riding bikes to the dog park.
Yeah, so we rode there, all of us, the whole family. We got there. We dropped our bikes right there at the dog park and walked in. Now, it is huge.
It's the size of a campground. I'm not kidding you.
Huge.
It is the size of some of the campgrounds
and
we've been
to. And it does
to.
Have a separate area for smaller dogs as well. Not as big, but very nice size. Over to the left, there were picnic tables with hoses so that you could actually bathe your dog after
I tried to bathe Maggie and that did not go well.
I haven't. This is one thing that we're still working on with her. So anyway, you cross this big, huge, open path, field.
It is a field.
And,
like a
and
football
you
field.
Go and you end up on a beach. And that beach
water.
Is right on the water, this big lake, and all the dogs are sitting there playing in the water, splashing around. And we did not know if Maggie would go in the water because she's hesitant with new things because she didn't do a lot, I think, in the first 2 years of her life.
Well, that's changed since she joined the podcast network.
Yeah. She said like her activities amped up quite a bit over the last couple months. So we didn't know. As long as the boys like went into the water, she was there.
Yeah, as long as they sort of like, you know, prompted her, she followed mm-hmm. them every single time.
Yep.
And there's almost like two little beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And
there
some
is,
of the
yeah.
dogs would go out into the water and, you know, somewhat swim around to the other one. So I've just never seen such a big dog park.
No, everybody was playing fetch with their dogs, throwing like the balls and everything out into the water. Maggie
and
doesn't
just,
fetch.
Like, a nice, there was a nice vibe there too with all the dog owners. It was very friendly. The other dogs were friendly. They actually have yappy hour. Here at the dog park. So they actually, and we didn't see this while we were there, but throughout the year they serve drinks there. They have cocktails. You can meet other dog owners and socialize. It sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Though that I think that that's like sort of a up and coming thing that you see appearing in different urban centers, yappy hour, right?
Not ours. Okay.
No.
Now they also have a really nice outdoor center. Now the outdoor center has disc golf, which we love, but we haven't played in a while. They have a slack line. A challenge course, and most importantly to our boys, Max and Theo, a climbing wall. And I pinky promised Theo halfway through the week we would get him to the climbing wall. We didn't get there till the last morning before we left, but we did get our boys there, and man, did they love it.
Yeah, they could have gone again and again and again. Now, this is not a climbing wall like at the playground. This is not like a 10-foot high wall.
It's like a four-story climbing
this
wall.
This is a 40-foot climbing wall. I don't have that exact number, but I think it's about 40 feet. Now, it has all these different faces to it that are different levels of difficulty. They have a guide who helps your kids or adults. There was like serious climbers at this wall because there were I don't know what you call them.
They were setting it up for a competition.
That you can go up that are like the most challenging kind of level. So our guide took the boys to the, I think it was the purple and orange. And he was like, you guys can do the purple and orange. They had never done this before. They zoomed up to the top.
They raced to the top fearlessly. And I was really, it was like a proud moment, I think, for both of us just to see like, my gosh, we are raising really brave, athletic kids. It was great to see them zoom up to the top.
Yeah, and I went on, he put me on a more difficult one.
He not being me, he no, being the guy helping
he
us.
He put me on a really tough, I'm like, okay, so I guess I look like I can do tough climbing. But
you
so,
did a good job.
But it was tough for me. And that was like on another side of the wall. So, you know,
you weren't scared. You hit a spot where you couldn't kind of figure out where
figure
your next
out
handhold
how
was.
To yeah, and I guess I was a little chicken in terms of like kind of almost like hopping myself up and like kind of like pulling myself up to the next, cuz that part of the wall actually had those diagonal juts out. So like I was hanging like upside down almost. I mean,
you
not
were,
upside
and
down,
I have
but
pictures to prove it.
So it was, I mean, you can really have an amazing wall climbing experience.
And for
here.
Only $12 each, and you told me that price was good for the day, like you
yeah.
could go and come back. And it was discounted from 14. I think 14 is the real price, and it's 12 if you're staying at the campground.
Yeah, because
reasonable.
You get the county price if you're staying at the campground.
And this is, you could walk from the campground to this climbing wall. And one thing I did want to note, because you're in this huge county park, a lot of things like the playground, which we can talk more about in a second, they're not right there. It's not like you're going to open up the door of your RV and there's the playground and there's the dog park like at most private campgrounds. You have to walk or ride your bike there. Now, I'm not saying that that's a negative. I'm not saying that's a positive. It's just the way it is.
Well, see,
I actually ended up enjoying the fact we had to ride bikes to all these different things.
It was kind of ideal, and I was surprised at how ideal I found it, because what happens is all those things are there and you can enjoy them. But at the same time, our boys just spent most of their time sort of crashing through the woods and catching things at the pond and, you know, really just enjoying a lot of games with their friends and wiffle ball and just pick up games and bike riding. So it was almost nice that the playground wasn't right there. And, you know, like,
I agree.
So I
agree.
Know.
They had a really, they did had a, you can have a real back to nature experience at this campground with your kids. And you're just right around the corner from Charleston, one of the great American cities. So it's just such a perfect combination. Now let's get back to James Island County Park. Now there's also a gorgeous and shaded playground that actually has some kind of covers over it, right? To keep it shaded. Mm-hmm. And this was an off the hook playground.
Yeah, there was multiple sections of it. Ridiculously fun. Climbing monkey bars, slides. It was just really, it was a great playground. And we had to, one evening, I mean, it was just getting late and late and late. We had to like drag the kids away from the playground.
Yeah, they could spend 2 hours at this playground. Like it could be a morning or an afternoon, just sort of packing a picnic lunch and heading over to the playground.
Yeah, because it's right next to a picnic area and also to a splash pad.
Yeah, let's talk about the splash pad. So they actually have a splash park, which is like a small water park. It's an additional fee. It was not open yet while we were there, but there's big water slides. It looked amazing, right? And it's right around the corner from the campground. But then there's also sort of a little guy splash pad area by the playground, which was open. The water was running. Wesley had a great time there. Max and Theo, it was like a little bit young for them.
They stayed there for a little while and then went over to the playground.
They wanted to go to the playground. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. But, oh my gosh, so much there. We didn't even get to experience that larger water park within the campground.
Yeah, they want to go back for that. So
also, miles of nature trails and bike trails. If your family is into bike riding, the bike trails are really pretty. They're shaded. They're extensive. So many people sent us little messages saying, oh, my favorite part about staying there was going bike riding in the park.
Yeah, I actually taught Max how to get the honey out of honeysuckles one night on a bike ride around, and he was doing it like every night after that and stuff. And so it was just really a wonderful way to end the day.
Now, as if the park were not good enough, they have a jam-packed schedule of special events year-round. And I wrote a bunch down here, and this doesn't even – I mean, there's so many more. The most popular is probably the Holiday Festival of Lights. They deck out James Island County Park for Christmas, and so getting a site at the campground is really hard then. So like someone at the camp store told me they're sold out already for this coming Christmas because people love these Christmas lights. And boy, it is on my bucket list to go back there for Christmas.
And it starts in November, I think. So you can go earlier. Maybe
it's either November 15th or like before Thanksgiving.
And then I think it runs the week after Christmas too.
So some people sneak in
there. Yeah, you could always do that too and go after when the crowds might die down.
They also have a wildlife expo. They have a pet fest. They have a Charleston outdoor festival, a Cajun festival. They have a series of reggae concerts in the summer. So no matter when you're there, no matter when you're camping there, there could be something really, really exciting going on in James Island County Park. So this is really has to be one of the best campgrounds and county parks in America.
So that was our review of the campground at James Island County Park. And you can tell that we couldn't imagine really a better campground than this place was. We were in awe and we can't wait to go back.
And for everyone listening, you get a double treat because our other podcast, we're going to spend the whole episode covering Charleston as well.
Now, also, I want to thank the James Island County Park for having us as guests there. That was really kind of them. They brought us down. They made our reservations for us and everything, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely appreciate it. And we really want to go back there. I mean, we are trying to get back to this campground this year because we liked it so much. Stephanie, are you ready for one of our 50 progressive adventures?
I am. These are unique attractions that have to be seen, but they're off the beaten path. And this one is about South Carolina.
Go figure. Those progressive people, the way they line up the whole like South Carolina
really
campground
thinking
review with the 50 progressive adventures, amazing. All right, so if you are coming down to the Palmetto State, you have to check out Reedy River Falls in Greenville, South Carolina. And boy, oh boy, do we want to get to Greenville, right?
It's a great city. It's got so much going on right now, and that is definitely at the top of the list.
Okay, so if you go there, moss-covered rocks line the falls, and the scenery is still one of South Carolina's most revered hidden gems. Adventure awaits with Progressive.
And thank you also to Jayco, our other sponsor of Campground of the Week. To see a complete line of their RVs, visit jayco.com.
And I just have to say, both truck and trailer performed admirably on this trip to Charleston, man.
True.
No problems with our Jayco Whitehawk. No problems with my Chevy Silverado. It's so, when we pull into the driveway at the end of a trip, it's so nice to just say, man, nothing went wrong. Nothing went wrong with and my rig and my truck.
I need to stop recording so that I can, like, viciously knock on wood.
I know. I probably shouldn't have said anything.
All right.
Now, Stephanie, where can our listeners find us on social media?
All right. Y'all know we're at RV Family.
Y'all, look at you.
TravelAtlas.com. You can see the show notes here at Campground of the Week. Go over to Instagram and look at all the pictures that we took of this trip and of the campground. We've got lots of the campground.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, one last tip. If you go to the campground's website, you can look at a picture of every single site at the campground. I'm so glad I remembered to say that. So if you head over to their website, you can see a picture of every site there if you want to check out each individual site. Thank you so much for listening to Campground of the Week. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground. Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.